Guys, we're in a series called God's Top 10, going through the Ten Commandments, and it's really interesting. Whenever I ask people, hey, can you name the Ten Commandments, they usually start off with something like, you shall not murder, shall not steal, shall not lie. And that is very, very telling because human heart is always looking for something that it needs to do. What do I need to do so that I will be okay? But see, God didn't set it up that way. God set up the Ten Commandments differently. He said the first three, you shall have no other gods before me, you shall have no idols, and honor my name. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord. Because the first three commandments deal with worship. It deals with God. It has nothing to do with what we need to do or not do. Humans are always looking for a checklist of things to do. If I do these things, I'll be okay. If I don't do these things, I'll be okay. But guys, God set up the Ten Commandments in a different way that we would see the first three commandments would be all about worship of God. You guys, so last week, 2 weeks ago, we talked about you shall have no other gods before me and what that meant. And then last week, we talked about having no idols and what idolatry was. And today, the commandment is you shall not misuse the name of the Lord God Almighty. Guys, most of you guys know I'm a soccer player, and being a soccer player, I run into all different types of ethnicities. There aren't too many Americans. Let's change it a little bit, but back, especially 15 years ago, weren't a whole lot of Americans that played soccer, so I was always on the field with Hispanic people, people from other countries, people from China, Asia, and everything. I would run into all these different ethnicities. Well, I was playing for a team called the Internationals down in Alabama when I lived down there about 12 years ago. And we were playing this team that was not a single American on this team that we were playing. I think they were from Asia or something like that. And the guy that I was marking, the guy that was next to me on the other team, every time his team would mess up, he said something like, cheese on rice. That's what it sounded like. He'd go, cheese on rice. And I, is he hungry? You know, what's going on here? And all of a sudden, I realized that he was saying Jesus Christ every time his team would mess up. And he was using the name of my Lord and Savior as a swear word. And I was a jerk when I was young, and I decided to have a little bit of fun with this. And so I figured, okay, he's from Asia, maybe from China, somewhere around there. So my team messed up. I said, Buddha! And he looked at me like, you know, like this, and I pretended like I didn't see him, and you know, and it got even worse than that, like, you know, that I you know, man, Muhammad, you know, and I started taking all these other names in vain, and the guy just looked at me real strange, you know, like how can you do that, and finally I asked him, I said, oh, man, I'm sorry, does that offend you? And he goes, well, actually, it does. And I said, well, man, Buddha was just a guy. He was just a guy. He was just a man, you know, but the name that you were using was the name of the Son of God. You want to hear about him? And, guys, that was how serious I take the name of my Lord and Savior. See, guys, when on my teams, everywhere I coach, I don't allow the Lord's name to be used. Matter of fact, in tryouts, one guy, I heard Jesus' name, and I said, man, don't use that name, you know. I heard someone praying because God doesn't answer prayers on the soccer field. I've tried it; it doesn't work. So find something else to say, okay? And the reason is, guys, and I hope that you guys will pick up on this throughout this. Why I take the name of God so very seriously, guys. Let's go back to the very beginning. God's name, Leviticus 24, 15 through 16, get this. This is what happened in the old days, back in biblical times, back in like 4,000 years ago. This was a command given to the Israelite people. Leviticus 24, 15 through 16, say to the Israelites, God is saying this to Moses, Moses is going to say this to the Israelites, anyone who curses their God will be held responsible. Verse 16, anybody who blasphemes the name of the Lord is to be put to death. The entire assembly must stone them. In other words, if you hit your thumb with a hammer and you let out, you know, the Lord's name, the entire community was to throw rocks at you until you died. I thought to myself, man, that is really intense. There'd be a lot of dead Americans if that was the rule around here, okay? Every time somebody texted, OMG, man, I mean, boom, they'd be dead. You know, and I thought to myself, that's pretty hardcore. Why in the world does God have such, you know, why is that so powerful? Well, guys, here's a question. Can you really separate the name from the person? Let's say that somebody says David Kibler's an idiot, and it happens every day, okay? Say somebody says Dave Kibler's an idiot, and I get all mad about it, and they say, oh man, I wasn't making fun of you, I was talking about your name. No, you can't separate Dave Kibler from me because that is my name. When you talk about my name or you use my name, you refer to me. Okay? You can't separate the name from the person. And yet, it has become so common in our society that when people use the word, use the name God, very rarely do they even refer to him. I want to ask you a question. How many times have you used God's name this week and you didn't even refer to him? You didn't even think about it. You weren't praying. You weren't praising. You weren't asking him for anything. You just used his name and didn't even think about him. Guys, that is one of the problems in our society. It's one of the things that we need to change. And the reason we need to change is it goes so much deeper than not simply not using God's name. Okay, it goes so much deeper. And I want you to get this. Because if we were looking for a checklist of things to do, okay, I will not say, the Lord's name except for when I'm praying. Check, I'm fine. No, guys, that's so surface. Let's go deeper. It's more than just not misusing the name of the Lord. It's about developing a passion for God's name. And we'll talk about that. In Isaiah 26:8, an entire college ministry movement called Passion was based off of Isaiah 26:8, and it says this. This is a statement that I want to build this entire message around. Isaiah 26:8, yes, Lord, walking in the ways of your laws, we wait for you. Your name and your renown is the desire of our hearts. Your name and your renown are the desire of our hearts. In other words, God, our single passion, our single focus, our single life song, our single life story is about making you and your name big, magnified, glorious, lifted up. That's what we are all about. Yes, Lord, walking in the way of your laws, we wait for you. Your name and renown are the desire of our hearts. So let me ask you a question. Look in that scripture as a mirror. Is the name of God and his renown and his fame the desire of your heart? Is that how you live your life? Is that what your actions scream? God is huge. God's renown is the desire of my heart. I want to see him magnified and lifted up. His name? Probably not. Because guys, when we get a hold of a passion for worship, a passion for God's name, everything changes. A passion for God's name changes everything. First thing, it changes our worship. Changes our worship. If you have a passion for the name of God, everything that happens here on Sunday morning changes. And this is why. 1 Samuel 12:22 says this, for the sake of his great name, the Lord will not reject his people because the Lord was pleased to make you his own. See, guys, a lot of us have sin in our lives. A lot of us really mess up. And I know a lot of your stories. And man, it's scary stuff. I know what's going on. And a lot of times we start thinking that because of the stuff that we've done, God will reject us. God doesn't listen to us. God doesn't love us because of what we've done. Okay? But look what it says here. For the sake of his great name, for the sake of his great name, the Lord will not reject his people. In other words, it's not about you. By God accepting his people by the cross and drawing people to him, it is to make his name great that he loves us. And because the Lord was pleased to make you his own. I want you to think about those words, his own. Because guys, I was a kid in a household of a doctor. Okay? And that was in the day before cell phones, day before, basically we had a home phone. And we got phone calls all the time from medical reps wanting my dad to look at their product or people wanting donations or anything like that. And my dad hated answering the phone, couldn't stand it. So it became my brother and my job to answer the phone, okay? And when we would answer the phone, I could automatically tell if this was a guy worth talking to because my dad's name is William Benjamin Kibler, okay? And when the person would I'd say hello, and they'd say, hello, is Bill there? My dad doesn't go by Bill. Obviously, this person does not know my dad. I'd hang up, okay? And then the next time someone would say, may I speak to Dr. Keebler? Click, okay? You obviously have no idea who my dad is. You're not worth talking to. So, guys, I get that all the time. You know, when somebody comes and asks for Mr. Keebler or Mr. Kibbles, okay, that happens all the time, and I know you don't know me. That because you don't know my name. You don't know who I am. You're calling me by the wrong name. You don't know me. We have no relationship. Okay, but then there's some people that refer to me as Coach Kibler. All right? That means that, okay, there's a relationship there. That means that they're my player, they're a parent of a player, and I'm the coach. Okay, that means I know you. That means that we've got a surfacey kind of relationship, and we spend 3 or 4 months out of the year together, and I'm known as Darth Vader. Okay? Then some people refer to me as Pastor or Pastor Dave or whatever. And that probably means that, yes, you're part of this church or you're part of a church, and so we've got that kind of relationship. Now, getting deeper, if you call me Kibbs, okay, that means that I've known you for at least 25 years. We've played sports together, and we have stories that the statute of limitations have passed, and no stories will be told, okay? That's what that means. That's if you call me Kibbs, that means we've got a different relationship. Now, there's only one person in this world who calls me Sweetie. And no, it's not the waitress at Waffle House, okay? It's the Sweetie, hun, sugar. No, not her, okay? That's my wife. That means that we have a very different relationship because of what she calls me. And then there are 4 little people that have the right to call me Daddy. These are the ones that I allow up in my lap. Ones I wrestle with, ones I tuck into bed at night, the ones I pray with at night. See, what they call me shows what the relationship is. And guys, I would say that if worship is a bore, worship is a drag, worship just doesn't happen for you here on Sunday morning, worship is just, I don't know, you just don't connect with it, you don't really get into this whole praise of God, I would say that probably you don't know Him. You don't know Him. Because when you do know God and you see the glorious God, so the glory of God, and you see how great His name is, the natural response is to praise. See, guys, here at Catalyst, we don't really care what you wear. We don't. We got people wearing shorts in the wintertime. We got people wearing suits in the summertime and everything in between, okay? We got everything. But back about 12 years ago, it was a really big deal. And I remember getting into a discussion when I was in seminary with a couple of guys that could not believe that someone would wear jeans to church. Okay, I can't believe people wear jeans to church. I said, why? He goes, well, if you were going to meet the president of the United States, would you wear jeans? And I said, no. I would not wear jeans and a t-shirt to meet the president of the United States. And the guy looked at me and he goes, then how much bigger is God than the president of the United States? You're belittling Him by going into His presence wearing jeans and a t-shirt. How could you do that? And I simply responded, I said, that's pretty heavy. But then I said, I don't know the president. I don't know him. To me, he's just a president. I wonder what his kids wear. The president has kids. Do they dress up in his presence? Do they go before, do they make sure they have their suit and tie before they go and sit in the lap and tell their dad about their day? No, because he's their dad. Doesn't matter, because there's that relationship there. So guys, I would say that if worship ain't happening, if there's no closeness, if there's not that passion for God's name, I'd say you probably don't know Him. And that's a heart condition. Guys, a passion for God's name changes everything. It changes our worship. Second, it changes our lifestyle. Guys, it changes how we are. When we get into a passion for God's name, it changes our lifestyle. Because, guys, I want to tell you, Christians don't have that great a reputation around here. They really don't. We're known as hypocrites. We're known as judgmental. We're known as everything under the sun except for being the way Jesus was. Guys, Romans 2:24 says this, as it is written, God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. God's name's blaspheme. In other words, people ridicule and belittle the name of God because of our actions. And when we realize that our actions and the way that we are, it will either make God look huge or will make Him look small. Well, all of a sudden, it changes everything about our lifestyle. You're the only Bible most people will ever read. You know that? You're the only sermon most people will ever hear. So let me ask you a question. Is God's name magnified because of you? Or is it belittled because of you? Can you think of 5 things this week, 5 things that you've done that have magnified God's name? Have you shown grace to someone that doesn't deserve it? And in doing so, made God's name look huge? Have you shown patience when you're about to blow your stack in a situation that would make anybody else lose their cool and go off? Have you shown patience and therefore made God's name look huge? I don't know, have you taken your two most precious resources, time and money, and used them in a way that have made God look huge? Or have you used them in a way that makes God look small, inconsequential? See, guys, when we get a passion for God's name, when we get a clued into God's name, all of a sudden the way that we work, we realize that from 8 to 5, the way that I work, the way that I look at my work, the way I look at my school, the way that everything can make God's name look huge, or it can make God's name look small. I wonder what would happen if the Christian students were in the schools at East Jessamyn and West Jessamyn and all the other schools that are represented here. I wonder what would happen if they were known as the polite ones, the ones that said yes ma'am and no sir. I wonder if they were the ones that were on time to class. I wonder if they were the ones that turned in all their work and did their very best. I wonder what would happen to the teachers in that school when they saw the Christian students were the ones whose work and school attendance made God's name look huge. I wonder what would happen to if Christian businessmen, Christian businesswomen were to use their influence, to use their expense accounts in ways that made God's name look huge instead of belittling Him. I wonder what would happen if we took the hours 8 to 5, the times we're at work, and use that time we can either make God's name look huge or we can belittle it. I wonder what would happen when we got a passion for God's name. Everything changes, not just Sunday morning. Everything. Our lifestyle changes. But guys, this is the one that I want you to get into right here. A passion for God's name changes our priorities. Everyone turn to Exodus 9:16. I want everyone to turn there. I will even wait. There are Bibles everywhere. Turn to Exodus 9:16. It's the second book of the Bible, and chapter 9 is right after chapter 8, if you don't know where that is. Okay? Exodus 9:16. Exodus, second book of the Bible, chapter 9, verse 16. I'm going to read it here as you guys turn there. God says this, but I have raised you up for this very purpose. Okay, when God says that in Scripture, I have raised you up for this very purpose, this is why you're here, okay? You pay attention. That I might show you my power, that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. That is why you're here. That God may show us His power and that His name might be proclaimed in all the earth. See, guys, you're not here to be a soccer player. That's not why you're here. You're not here to be a businessman or businesswoman. You're not here to be an athlete or a mom or a dad. You are here that God might show you His power and that His name might be proclaimed in all the earth. And I'll explain why I say that. I get into nature, guys. I really do. And one of the reasons why I keep talking about it is because so much of my life pulls me away from what's real. I get involved in my cell phone. I get involved in what's on the computer screen. I get involved with what's on the TV screen. And my entire life, I'm looking down, and I never look up. And so if we could turn off the lights, I want to show you the creation of the God that we worship. This is the creation that God has put out for everyone to see. I want you guys to see the God behind the name that we're talking about. I want you guys to see the beauty of everything that God has created that shouts the glory of His name. This first one here, guys, is called the Hourglass Nebula. Check this out. This is in our galaxy. It's symmetrical, and there at the very center, these are taken from the Hubble telescope. The very center, it looks like an eye. It's very, very, very cool. It's brilliant in color. And these are things that God has simply put up there for no other reason than to shout His glory. That's what it is. He says, I want you guys to see my glory. It's gorgeous. The next one is called the Ant Nebula. These are actually two nebulas together. And the fusion between them, the gravitational force between them, are causing the trails to shoot out, making it look like an ant. And this is, I believe this is 5 million light years away. 5 million light years away. In other words, light travels at 186,000 miles per second. So if you were to travel at the speed of light for 5 million years, you could get there. You ought to try it sometime, okay? This next one, this is a very rare photograph of this right here is actually a star exploding. No one knows why it exploded. It just exploded. It got too big and exploded, and that is the result of that. Okay, The next one, these two galaxies right here are merging. They're actually, the gravitational forces are merging them together, and scientists are saying that when these two, when they get close enough together, the gravitational forces will be so great that they will explode in a great, brilliant fire something. That's what they're saying because of the tension of the gravity there. They're actually merging together. This is about 10 million light years away. About 10 million light years away. Right before them, we also have what's called the Cat's Eye Nebula. This right here is about between 7 and 8 million light years away, and it's called the Cat's Eye Nebula. And these things are put out there to display the glory of God. The Book of Psalms says that the heavens are telling the glory of God. And my favorite one is this. It's called the Perfect Spiral Galaxy. This is 32 million light years away. 32 million light years away. And it's called the Perfect Spiral Galaxy because it is, to our knowledge, the only one that is perfectly symmetrical. Perfectly symmetrical. Perfectly designed. Milky Way, incidentally, is a spiral galaxy, but it is not perfectly symmetrical. That one is, and it is perpendicular to us, and it is 32 million light years away. That's how big the universe is. That's how big the God is that created this entire place. Basically, he didn't even have to lift a finger. The Bible says that he spoke it and it was. That's power. That is the power behind this name. Here's another shot from another angle, I guess, of the perfect spiral galaxy. This projector does not do it justice how pretty and gorgeous this actually is. But as great and awesome as our universe is, millions and billions of galaxies, each one with billions of stars spread out through and a huge universe, the Bible says God holds in the palm of his hand. That is the God that we worship. But guys, that's not the miracle today. It's not. You guys want to know what the miracle today is? The miracle is what you look at in the mirror every single day. Let me tell you about you guys. You may know some of this and you may not. But years ago, for some of you, many years ago, one cell from your mom met one cell from your dad. The one cell from your mom with 23 chromosomes, the one cell from your dad with 23 chromosomes, they met and they fused. And the 23 chromosomes from your mom met with the 23 chromosomes from your dad, and they formed a DNA strand, a new code, a new DNA code that was the perfect blueprint for what you would be. Using four nucleotides, which are known as A, C, T, and G, they're four letters of an alphabet, the very alphabet of God. He only needs four letters. The alphabet of God together formed these DNAs. Using four nucleotides, they began to write out what you see in the morning. A 3 billion character sequence. 3 billion nucleotides came together to form your DNA. 3 billion. And there's so much DNA in that one cell written in the language of God that if you stretched it out, together, it would be 6 feet long in one little cell. And if I was to try to read your DNA, if I counted one nucleotide per second or one instruction per second, it would take me 96 years counting day and night. That's how specific and detailed your blueprint is. This blueprint told how tall you would be. It told the eye color, skin color, hair color. It laid out the shape of your organs. It wired up your brain for musical ability or artistic ability. It wired up passions. It wired up emotions. It wired up everything. 3 billion characters written in the language of God himself right inside that one cell. And that blueprint would be for a human being that had never, ever existed since the beginning of time. Utterly and totally unique. And then that cell, that one cell with those 46 chromosomes and that 6 feet of specific instructions set out to do the unthinkable. It set out to build that specific model of who you would be. See, guys, it doesn't matter who your mom is. It doesn't matter who your dad is. Because those specific instructions were not written in the language of your mom or your dad. It was written in the language of God. You are a miracle because you were fearfully and wonderfully made, handcrafted by the hand of your Creator. The same one that made the perfect spiral galaxy and the universe painstakingly labored over you and put 3 billion specific instructions into what you would be. And then that cell divided. I know this picture probably didn't make it into the family album, but this is you. This is you at 2 days. 12 cells, each with specific instructions. It actually may be me because I think that one has a big nose or is starting to be formed. And that blastocyst, that 12-cell little fetus, was on its way to becoming the 75 trillion cell being that you are. Each one of these cells with specific instructions. There is so much DNA in you right now. In the 75 trillion cells that you are, there's so much DNA that if we were to stretch it out, we would have enough to go to the moon and back 178,000 times. That's how much specific detail went into who you are. You are truly and wonderfully made. You are not an accident. And in the time that I took to say that, 50,000 cells just died and were replaced by 50,000 healthy cells. It happens every 3 seconds. Truly, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And here you are at 5 months. Those were the good old days. Just hanging out in mom's womb. Chilling out. I don't know if you guys remember those days. I mean, there were miracles all over the place going on in the womb, but I'm going to tell you about one of them. 1 million. 1 million nerve cells went seeking out 1 million nerve receptors in your brain. 1 million nerve cells from your eye went to look for 1 million nerve receptors in your brain. They have a one in a million chance of hooking up with the right one. And the instant that they did, you had sight. Engineers tell us that the human eye is the most complex thing probably on the face of the planet. The fact that you can see me is a miracle. Truly, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And guys, as I was studying this stuff on Friday, and I was getting all this stuff together, and I was researching all this, something hit me when I realized that there were 3 billion specific instructions that God painstakingly crafted in me, that he did all of that in all that detail and everything, that's what I would be. And I looked up and I saw all the galaxies, I saw the nebulas, I saw the beauty of creation, then I saw this painstaking effort he put into me, and I said, you know what, God? I have made your name so small. You are amazing. And your power is beyond anything I've ever seen. And I have spent most of my life using your name as a curse word. Why does God say to honor, not to misuse the name of God? Because we have a God that does stuff like that every single day. And he has labored intensely over you. He has spelled out 3 billion different instructions for who you would be. He's not just the creator of the cosmos. He's the creator of you that labored so long and hard over you to make you his masterpiece. And guys, that is why we honor the name of God, because it's a God that does stuff like that every day. Most of my life, I have not made the name of God huge. And I got down on my knees in my office. I said, you know what, God? I have so belittled your name. I have so patronized you. I have pushed you to the side. And God, I am sorry. I don't know about you guys. Maybe, Maybe you guys have been doing that too. Maybe you've just simply belittled the name of God. Maybe you have used God's name as a swear word. Every single time I see on Facebook or on a text message the letters OMG, it kills me. Because I know who that's referring to. And I know what he's capable of. And I know how glorious he is. And I know how awesome he is. And the passion for God's name kills me when I see that. When I see God's name used as a swear word. Or I see his name just belittled and dragged through the mud. Kills me. So maybe right now, maybe we need to spend some time in repentance. Because we live in a society that does not honor the name of God. Guys, every week, we have a chance to honor the name of God. Jesus knew that we would get really, we'd forget about it. He knew that we would, through the day-to-day life, we'd forget about him. So he set up something called communion and said, you know what, guys, every time you get together, I want you to remember me. And maybe one of the things you need to remember this morning is that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, that God labored incredibly over you, and he wrote who you would be in his own language, and it's all over yourselves, and he loves you that much. Maybe that's what you need to remember. Because, guys, when we remember that, we'll have no problem honoring his name.